There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
106 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad y'all are along. And we'll get more from Dr. Bill's forecast for the weekend. But that rain you're seeing now, a little more frequent as we head into next week. But more details coming up at about 1:35. All right, Kirby's in studio. This is great. First of all, my buddy Brendan Kirby with LifeSet.com, Yellowhammer News, author of Wicked Mobile. And then he brought the talented and accomplished person in his life with him, of course, his daughter, who's coming here. I'm sorry. Oh, man. God, man, that was, you can get on the mic if you want to defend yourself. I mean, that was icy. That was an icy stare.
Was that not,
I thought that was uncalled for, that you stared at me like that. But no, it is great because I have heard, you know, mentioned before, but I've heard stories about what you do on a daily basis, Mariah, and I'm always impressed. And then I go to Facebook and I see you performing one of your songs, and then I see another one where you're performing a song you wrote for your grandparents.
I did. It was recently their 50th anniversary.
And you wrote them a song.
I did.
That wins. That wins. As the coolest grandchild, that wins, for sure, when you can write a song. I used to just give them something I'd made out of crepe paper or something like that, and you wrote them a song. So you're performing. When you performed the other time, I saw it on Facebook. Where were you? Where was that venue?
I was at Serta's Brewery in Mobile. They have a songwriter's night every first Tuesday of the month.
Okay.
That was their first one, actually, but they have another one for, you know, August, the first Tuesday in August, and I plan to go to that one, too.
All right, so you went out and you had your own song you had written, and that song blew me away. What's the name of the song?
It's an original song, kind of unironically titled Unoriginal.
How do you sit down and write? I mean, it was a great song for musically, but the lyrics are, I mean, I'm telling you, you're wise beyond your years.
Thank you so much.
How do you write a song like that? How does that start off? Did it just an idea, something you're in your head? Did you sit down to write a song? How'd you do it?
I did sit down to write a song. Sometimes I'll just get an idea from nothing and I'll be like, whoa. But sometimes I do sit down with a guitar or a ukulele and I'm like, I am in the mood to write a song. And it was kind of funny because I was just thinking about how I'm not the most talented musician in the world, and I was just getting, like, kind of frustrated because I couldn't think of any ideas, and I was just like, wow, I just feel so, like, stupid and pointless and unoriginal. And I was like, maybe I should write a song about that, about how I struggle with all my self-doubt and my self-hatred. It's so cathartic and, healing to write songs about, like, negative feelings. Like, it's the best thing in the world to be able to, like, put into words what you're feeling.
And it's relatable. That's the thing, you know, you may feel like that's just you, but you write a song like that and there's a whole bunch of people that say, yeah, I get that.
Big mood.
Yes. So, okay, the name of the song?
It's Unoriginal, yeah.
Unoriginal. All right, but it's an original. You want to give us a sample here and play the song?
Of course.
All right. You also, for a first time ever, live music in studio on Midday Mobile.
Okay. Yay. Let's go.
Let's go.
Staring at my ceiling late at night, inspired to create, but nothing feels right. Plagued by my insecurities and doubts, it's all been done before and it makes me want to shout. I will always be unoriginal, destined to repeat things done by people better than me. It's all the same words, chords, colors, and thoughts. Original, I guess I am not. Try to be myself, but I don't know who I am. still staring at my ceiling. It's 4 a.m. All I am is pieces of other people. It's all been done before, and it makes me want to shout. I will always be unoriginal, destined to repeat things done by people better than me. It's all the same words, chords, colors, and thoughts. Original, I guess I am not. Original, I guess I am not.
All right. Well done.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so the question is, so you said there's this, the event happening at Serta's the first, what is it, Tuesday?
It's the first Tuesday of August.
Okay, first Tuesday of August, and we can cover, you got, we're going to perform that song?
Yes, I am, and maybe a couple others, I don't know.
All right, and we'll swing this mic back over your dad, and if you can pick that other one up there, so we'll take the guitar mic, and it'll become your regular mic, and I got to ask you, I mean, with your dad sitting right here, gotta be proud, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's pretty cool when you watch your kids do things you could never do.
Right. It's interesting because, I mean, obviously, your finely honed craft is writing, and writing takes different forms. I mean, I'm looking at a story on the national website, Life Set, you got published, and then hearing your daughter who's written words of a song, and they're both writing, but they're so very different.
Right, and she's a very talented writer. When she was writing stories literally before she could read. You know, she's just a really little girl, and she would ask her mother how to spell words.
Every single word.
She didn't know anything.
Every single word. I've got kids like that in my house.
So, you know, it was very laborious. How do you spell house?
Yes.
Spelling out how you spell. So she's always been a very talented writer and has always liked creative writing stories and that sort of thing, and it translates well, I think, into the music writing, at least the lyric part of it. I always thought that the best musicians were the ones that were the cleverest writers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Abby. Well, there's being able to do both of them, though. That's the thing, the double threat, because right. Yeah, I mean, there are some musical instrument technicians out there that are incredibly good operators of musical instruments, and then there's people who can write beautiful words but can't perform them. You got it all.
My father plays a little bit of guitar, you know, sort of dabbled with it.
So does it jump to generations?
My mom plays guitar.
Okay, well,
her mother is the real musical talent, you know, in our family, if you want to talk about genes. But my father said that, you know, he knows enough about guitars and music to sort of understand how it's done. And he said, I think I could write lyrics to a song, but putting it together with the music, he said, I could never do that.
Well, it's amazing. And compliments to you. And then starting at the Alabama School of Math and Science, I mean, you're talented.
Thank you so much.
Talented.
And I don't know if you have time, but you know, she could probably do a ukulele song if you wanted to.
Yeah, we could do this. We'll do this. Yeah, we'll do a ukulele song. We'll run to the news break and come back and do... get it a little ukulele song.
Little uke.
We'll do that. And also, so many people on the text line here that are fans, and
aww.
So they're really enjoying your music and very, very impressed with your lyrics and your playing. And so y'all can come out and see it live and in person at Serta's coming up next month. And then to many, many first Tuesdays in a row after that, right?
Hopefully.
All right, very good. All right, 1:15, we're coming right back. We'll check in with News 5 and then come back and get some ukulele tunes and some more discussion of how do we mix. We got to get a song written about GDP. Can we write a... Is there a big market for GDP songs?
About economic growth.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1:17, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile, Friday style. Glad to have you here. This is a lot of fun, too. I get multiple Kirbys in studio, and we need to do this more often. They get you back here on a Friday. Mariah, can you make sure your dad gets in here more often?
I will.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I like being in studio.
Yeah, I do, too. This is good, and especially when you bring your daughter, who is look at the text line. People loving it, too. Just killing it on the guitar. And now... going to kill it on the ukulele.
Yep.
The ukulele, which is, that's about my speed. If I pick one up, that's where I'll probably go, ukulele.
Do you think we should package, like, for every purchase of Wicked Mobile?
Okay.
Like a downloadable song or something.
What do you think? You're going to let your dad ride your coattails or what?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. All right, so going to the ukulele now. And so what was, so ukulele was second, so guitar was first, and then mm-hmm. you went ukulele?
Yeah, I got a ukulele, this one right here, this past Christmas, and I've been teaching it to myself.
Is it not, and this is, shows my ignorance, for, but listen, this is good, because I don't know. Is it, I mean, it looks like a little guitar to me.
The guitar, most standard guitars have six strings. The ukulele has four.
Okay, so you're shorted two strings. How do you get the notes out of it?
It's different, like, chord shapes that you do with your fingers. It's not the same at all.
But you can make, can you make all the chords that you would on a six-string guitar?
You can, just the pitch is different. That's the whole point, because, you know, most
It does sound like it's different. You can tell a ukulele.
Yeah.
And so that's because of four strings versus six.
Mm-hmm. And, like, the pitch is different, and, like, yeah.
Okay, but let's do this.
But they're definitely comparable instruments. This song I wrote a little while ago. It's called Bubblegum.
Bubblegum.
And it's just about feeling like you're always temporary to people. You're, like, people are always going to move on to better things.
Like bubblegum. Okay.
It's just kind of, you're just kind of a temporary sweet thing in their life that they're eventually going to throw away.
And you're 15?
Yeah.
And you're 15? And you have... My goodness. All right. Mariah Kirby, it's Bubblegum. It's FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you. Bubblegum to you. Sorry I got boring quick, not up to your standards. Look at all these flavors to try, but I've lost mine. I'd stay with you for 7 years, but it looks like you're gone. Through thick and thin, I'd stick with you, but I guess I'm just bubblegum to you.
Woo!
Thank you.
15? And you, my goodness, how talented. And just
thank
the way
you
you're
so
seeing
much.
The you see the world like somebody much older. Well done. All right. Listen, if people want to get have more taste, they can come out to Certus.
Certus Brewery, Mobile.
Get Dad, we'll swing the mic over there, too. Brenda, we're going to get some way to do some downloads here or something, right? Do you have any idea? People can go get music, those kind of things?
Not at the moment, but I'm thinking about it. So, I don't know. If people would want it, then I'd like to do it.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Best thing to do is probably just to email and contact your dad through social media, and then you can pass it on.
Yeah. I think I actually posted the first song she played on YouTube, so I think that's findable out there.
Okay, so just search what on YouTube?
I could probably send you a link. You
know, okay, and then we'll do it, and we'll link it through?
Yeah, that'd be good.
All right, you're getting it. And look at this. You got votes coming in on Twitter as well. So you may be what saves Twitter, because Twitter stock's down today, too, like Facebook. So you may actually take all the negativity of Twitter away and save it one song at a time. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Y'all are going to come back soon. And a reminder, too, if you want to read more about today's GDP numbers or a host of other stories, whether they be national or local, her dad, this other guy, buddy of mine, yeah, Brendan Kirby.
You know him.
Yeah, that guy.
You get me on Twitter, at Brendan K. Kirby. The story on the GDP is up at lifeset.com.
And you mentioned, too, something to look at. The idea of the census data.
Yeah. Just real quick on that. A federal judge yesterday ruled that a lawsuit could move forward against the question that the Trump administration wants to ask, are you a citizen or
right.
not?
On the census document.
On the census document. Now, I think most people assume that this is already asked. And in fact, it is asked in different forms. It has been on the main census form in the past.
But that's changed,
and
right?
It hasn't been asked on the main census form for the last few censuses, but it is asked in the surveys that the Census Bureau conducts. To me...
And the judge is saying what?
The judge is saying that the plaintiffs have made a showing... that it's at least plausible in that they can continue to make this case that it's discriminatory against non-citizens. And just like we see with a lot of this litigation, he cited comments Trump has made and tweets Trump has made and the famous S-hole comment that,
right.
that he made. And that, so once again, that if another president wanted to do this, it'd be okay. But because it's Trump and things he said, it can't. My question on this, though, is... can you think of a single other country on earth where a court would stop the government from counting its citizens? It just shows me where we've come in this country. And mind you, this doesn't ask the follow-up question for people who say, no, I'm not a citizen. It doesn't say, are you here legally or not?
Right. It just asks the first.
It just wants to count. Because the census requires that we count the people here, everyone mm-hmm. here.
Who are we and also that's how you apportion representation. Are you there to represent citizens or right. just all those people that happen to be within the borders?
And the way it's done is it's everyone. And, of course, Alabama has a lawsuit, Mo Brooks,
yep.
and the state of Alabama, challenging this, saying, no, you shouldn't count non-citizens because Alabama might lose a House seat
mm-hmm.
because California has a lot of non-citizens,
yeah.
and it's not fair to do it. But this is a separate question. What the, federal government wants to do,
yeah.
they just want to know, how many citizens are there
mm-hmm.
and how many non-citizens are there? This is a basic, how many times do people on the left freak out when the government, says they're not going to fund some science project?
Mm-hmm.
People say, oh, they tear their hair out and they're anti-science and they don't even want us to research this. We've heard this with guns and
right.
that stuff before. What could be more basic from a research standpoint than how many people are in the country and what is the breakdown between citizens and non-citizens?
All right, can you find that?
And that will be, we'll have a story going up later today on Lifeset.
All right, Lifeset. Also, Yellowhammer News, Wicked Mobile available. Number one, in stores right here at home, where you can get it packaged with the Andy Capps hot fries along with
yeah.
Wicked Mobile, but also online.
Online, yeah, of course. And pretty much anywhere where books are sold, you can definitely get it on Amazon, where I think you can get everything on Amazon now.
Yes.
And I'm sure you could, if you went to the Barnes & Noble online site, you could probably get it there as well. It's been available in the past. I haven't checked recently
okay.
in the store in Spanish Fort.
Oh, we'll see if we'll put it on the same page with your daughter's music.
Yeah, if people, it's kind of like when you would buy, cereal, right?
Yeah.
And then you'd want the prize,
yeah.
so you would just dump the cereal out. So, if people wanted the music, but they had to buy the book, and then they could just,
We used to get magazines that had 45s
right,
in them.
Right, they would rip the book apart till they get the CD or something.
Yeah, however it works.
It might work. It could be a marketing genius plan.
Mariah, thanks for bringing your dad in.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll be doing this again in the very near future. All right, let's do this. We're going to switch gears here for a second and go from the things that are musically beautiful in the world, the things that are good and right, into all the dregs of the internet stories that I have missed this week. But lucky for us, Dalton Orwig has not, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. I said it's time for... All right, the band's there. Although, hey, band, if y'all screw up, we're going to replace you. Just say that. All right, it's time for 6.5 Stories. Explain to the new people around here what we're doing here.
All right, well, what we do on 6.5 Stories is, obviously, Sean, you're on the air at least 5 hours every single day.
That'd be correct.
I join you for at least 3 of those every single day.
That's right.
But we can't get to every story that's out there on the internet.
Right.
So, on Fridays, we come up with 7... or 6.5 of the wildest stories from
okay.
the week, and we try to run through them. But I'm in a bad spot today. I'm like a C-list comedian that has to follow Taylor Swift or something like that. I don't know how I'm going to follow that. That was some great music.
But this is good. This is our variety show, mm-hmm. a Friday variety show. I like this.
I did want to lead off, though. This is not 6.5 Stories. Just a quick PSA
yes.
From my Nextdoor app. I check it regularly. But
yes.
right now, if you live in Terrace Hills and you're missing a parakeet, there is a loose parakeet in Terrace Hills. Just found this on my Nextdoor app. So if you have a parakeet at home, maybe check in on the home video. Make sure the parakeet's still in its cage because that could be your...
Parakeet on the loose.
Parakeet on the loose. All right, so start 6.5 stories this week with something I know I would consider just a nightmare. If this happened to me and my wife, this would be the worst thing ever. And you know, people just love stories now about babies being born, whether they're born in odd places or, as we've seen from April the giraffe, just a baby that's not human.
Right.
Babies are just big stories, big in the news. But on Monday, Six Flags over Georgia, a woman unexpectedly gave birth to her baby at Six Flags over
at the amusement
Georgia,
park.
At the amusement park. I mean, tell me that doesn't sound like a nightmare.
Like, I don't know. It was a
midsummer.
I don't know, having been around, you know, two of my children being carried there, that I would get my wife outside, let alone to an amusement park, if she was that far along.
No, I would not, for sure. Fox 5 in Atlanta say the woman, who's been identified only as Crucita, she was reportedly at Hurricane Harbor with her daughter. It's when she went into labor. So she went to the first aid area, told employees she felt she was in labor. And they responded correctly. Emergency responders were dispatched. They helped her deliver her baby. And they named the boy Matthew. They missed out there. I'm thinking they should have named the baby the Great American Scream Machine after that wooden roller coaster that everybody knows so well there at the Georgia Park. But in honor of the baby being born there, park gifted Crucita and Matthew with Diamond Elite memberships.
What does that do?
Well, it's very simple what that does. It guarantees them free entry to any Six Flags Park for the rest of their lives. And of course, Six Flags over Georgia was tweeting about this. They said, "It's a Six Flags baby boy." All caps, Donald Trump style there.
Nice.
"We were thrilled. We are thrilled to announce little Matthew was born at Hurricane Harbor on Monday afternoon. And congrats." Matthew wasn't the first, though. He's actually the second baby to be born at Six Flags over Georgia in 51 years. And it wasn't the only surprise birth that happened this month. Just last week in Texas, after she took an unplanned bathroom break at a Chick-fil-A, a couple ended up delivering their baby in the Chick-fil-A bathroom.
Please tell me they got free Chick-fil-A.
You're right. They get free food for life, and they went ahead and guaranteed the baby girl that was born a job once she turned 16.
Wow. You know what this is going to lead into? This is a very bad precedent on both sides. It's going to be people trying to have their children at the amusement park or at the food. It's going to be like anchor babies to be able to get, in this case, roller coaster rides.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile on this Friday. That was a lot of fun. Big thank you to Brendan Kirby and his daughter Mariah for coming in. She's going to be, it'll be a week from this Monday out at Serta's for the singer-songwriter deal. So that happens first Tuesday.
Yeah,
first Tuesday.
I think so.
Yeah, first Tuesday of the month out at Serta's. So that's a good thing. Check them out. And of course, you can go online. You go to Brendan Kirby's Facebook page. You can see some of her songs there. Talented young lady. And also, pretty awesome, starting at the Alabama School of Math and Science. I want to check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and talk some precious metals and gifts with him. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, how's it going today, Sean?
Going good, man. Let's talk about what's happening there. If people are looking to go, you know, do a hedge, diversify their portfolio, and buy some precious metal.
Well, silver has still been holding under $16 an ounce, and we have silver, you know, bullion starting at around $1 over spot. So for about $16.50, you can get an ounce of silver. Great way to jump into silver, like we talked about, as a hedge against inflation. You know, the economy gets crazy bad and things start to get overinflated price-wise, that silver value is going to go up tremendously when that happens. I mean, the bad news is gas is going to cost more than everything else is. Good news, you're going to have something that's going to go up with that value, not just a bunch of paper money. So we do talk to people a lot about putting some of their paper money, some of their savings into gold and silver coins, gold and silver bullion items. And the best thing of all is now you don't have to worry about paying sales tax when you do that.
That's right. That law has changed, and you've been educating us about that. And that means either putting that money back in your pocket or 10% more of that precious metal.
Exactly. And for people like you and me, Sean, that means we can buy some nice gold and silver bullion, some cool coins, and we have an extra 10% to buy a gift for that lovely someone because we know we're going to need it at some point, right?
Well said. Give us directions to come out and check out the shop at Mobile Bay Coins.
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. You can always call us at 725-1590 or go onto Facebook and start liking and following Mobile Bay Coins there.
Hey, thank you, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. All right. It is Mobile Bay Coins. That's Angelo. And it's 6.5 Stories with Dalton Orwig. All right.
The band sounds fantastic today.
Well, you know why? Because they said, uh-oh, there's somebody more talented than us in here playing music. And,
time to get back to work.
Trying to keep their job. All right, so 6.5 Stories rolls on.
Mm-hmm, yeah, story number two here.
Yes.
And this one, I know some people in Baldwin County that really need to take note of this next story. Just think about what I'm about to tell you and maybe what could have been done differently. I'm talking about some of the grown men that were on the local news for being attacked by rabid foxes and were not able to collect those foxes after being bitten.
That's right.
Okay, so Dateline, South New Jersey. Okay. On July 18th, Tammy Dubois, or is it Dubois?
Well,
I'm not sure how they go with it.
Well, I mean, people say Dubois in the French, but I probably have kinfolks that say Dubois.
Okay,
so
I'll fancy it up. I'll say Dubois here. Okay. And she was in her yard back on July 18th on her way out to visit her garden. But first, she had to check on a bird feeder that was near the house. I hope she's not missing her parakeet like that poor person on the next door app. There was a rustling in the bushes, but it did not strike Miss Dubois as odd. So she says she thought it might have been a stray cat or even a dog. Instead, a fox ran from the bushes and jumped against her leg. I'll set the scene here really quickly with a little bit of fox audio. This is what she was hearing, likely. Probably just like that.
Okay, so that's fox audio.
That's the fox audio.
And okay.
I'm going to try to maybe some dramatic music here. Maybe this will help when I say the rest of the story. So the 52-year-old Jersey resident recounted the attack, saying it was going crazy, making noises, and its mouth was moving. The fox circled around Dubois and began its attack, biting her with its sharp teeth on the calf of her right leg. Then it bit her again, its teeth puncturing her skin a second time. Now, this isn't the dramatic music I was hoping for, but trying to escape, Dubois ran up the steps of her porch to the house door, and the fox followed. As she tried to open the door to get inside, the fox began gnawing sideways on her already wounded leg.
Holy cow.
Dubois said she usually has some garden tools on the porch, but there were none this day that she could use to fend off this vicious animal. So with the fox tearing at her flesh, she reached down and grabbed its snout with her left hand, holding it tightly shut. Then with her right hand, she grabbed the fox's neck and squeezed. She said afterwards, it was biting at my leg. I had to do something.
Yes.
The fox struggled to get free, but it was soon limp. I couldn't do anything else to get it away from me, she said. I don't like to kill anything. Then, as Dubois tossed the fox's lifeless body from the porch and made it inside of her home, she alerted a neighbor to warn them about what had just happened, cleaned and bandaged her badly bleeding leg, and called her husband Bob. You know, there's always a Bob around.
Right, yeah.
He took her to the local hospital. She was aided and began a 2-week series of rabies treatments. They did ship the fox off and find out it was indeed infested with rabies.
But so she didn't run. She went ahead and took it out.
She went ahead and took care of business.
Good for her.
Yeah, and that's why I was saying there's some people, I think, in Baldwin County that I think
they're in such trouble.
They could have done this. They could have went ahead and taken care of business, just like Tammy Dubois. All right, so story number three, moving on from the fox for a little bit. We're in a new day and age, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back when a thief would break into homes and backyards to steal, like, tangible things like money, guns, valuables.
By bicycle.
Bicycles.
Yes.
Well, not anymore. Now there's a new type of thief, and I call it the Generation Z thief.
The Generation Z thief. Okay.
All right. This story comes from Palo Alto, California. It's the home of tech companies, Stanford University, and apparently a bunch of teenage nerds. On Sunday, a 60-something-year-old couple got up to an unpleasant surprise when they were woken in the middle of the night to find a masked intruder in their bedroom. And you might think this masked intruder was there to steal or maybe cause damage to the home or even hurt the residents. Instead, once they were woken up, the intruder said that he wanted to use the couple's Wi-Fi network and he needed their password. That's when the man who owns the home...
I'm jonesing, man. I got to have a hit of the Wi-Fi.
The man who owns the home leapt out of the bed and confronted the intruder, and he apparently scares easy. He shoved him down the hallway and out the front door and then immediately called the police. They did arrest the troublemaker minutes later, and no one was injured. They haven't named the 17-year-old suspect because, of course, he's a minor, but he was arrested for burglary as well as misdemeanor charges of prowling and also provided false information to the police. That's a big no-no. They said this wasn't the suspect's only attempt to get Wi-Fi access that weekend.
Oh, gosh.
Just before midnight. Just before midnight. The night before, police say the same young man was found prowling around another Palo Alto home. The residents came out and confronted him, and he asked to use their Wi-Fi network because he was out of data. They told him to get lost. But then he rode away on a bike that turned out to be stolen from their backyard. They found that bike.
So he did a little old-school thievery, too.
Yeah, he did a little bit of thievery that we would have been used to over the last 20 years.
But he wakes him up to get the Wi-Fi. You know, that's the thing. You let them have Wi-Fi one time, they keep coming back. It's like a stray cat.
Yeah, but just think of how much these robberies have changed over the years. I mean, he's trying to get wife. I'm embarrassed for this guy. I'm pretty embarrassed. So let's move it on. Here's story number four. Sean, have you heard of the hallucinogenic drug DMT? Have you heard of that at all?
No.
I know there's a documentary on Netflix about this drug. Its effects are supposed to be similar to ayahuasca, like the Young Guns movie we talk about all the time.
That's peyote, right?
You're right, peyote. Well, it's also like ayahuasca or magic mushrooms.
Okay. I know what you're talking about.
It's life-changing, man. It'll change your life.
Vision quest, right?
Well, one of the ways you can ingest DMT is apparently by licking a toad.
Oh, okay. This has been like the age-old, oh, man, you lick toads. Is this going to confirm or deny that this can happen?
Maybe neither.
Come on.
Wildlife officials in Arizona, they're saying that toads are being stolen from a conservation area, and the thieves are believed to be planning to lick them. Lick the toads. The Spur Cross Conservation Area's official Facebook page posted footage showing multiple people taking Sonoran desert toads late at night. The post said the case has been turned over to the county's sheriff's office, and they're seeking charges including violation of the park's posted hours and vandalism. Well, Arizona Game and Fish Wildlife Biologist Randy Babb, he said the thieves were likely planning to lick the toads. In that practice,
I can look at a man and tell he's a toad licker.
He could tell right when he saw him.
That's right.
Babb told KNXV TV, Sonoran desert toads are the toads of choice, and they harvest the poison from them and then ingest it. They're the largest toad in the Southwest. They can reach sizes of more than 2 pounds and can live up to 20 years. So next time you're in the Southwest United States and you see somebody on the side of the road licking a 2-pound toad,
I've always heard about that, and I have used that in some of my rants before when we talk about drug regulations in this country. I have a theory: if you could somehow magically wave a wand to get all the man-made drugs out of here, which I think would be great for our society, there'd still be people figuring out ways to get high somehow.
Yeah, how many animals
go lick a toad? You could take every drug off the street, and there'd be like, well, dude, man, if you hit yourself with a rock in the head hard enough, it's great.
Yeah, and I know Joe Rogan, he's one of the, you know, podcaster, comedian, UFC commentator. He's one of the people that vouches for the DMT experience. I think he was in this documentary, but I wonder how many animals they licked before they figured out it was this toad.
Right.
You just got to go down the zoo and just start licking animals, I guess. Okay, next couple stories here, all about scammers.
I'm out.
We're talking scammers. My favorite story of the week. A zoo in Egypt has denied painting black stripes on a donkey to make it look like a zebra after a photo of the animal appeared online. It was actually a student who realized it, Mahmoud Sarhan. He put the images on Facebook after visiting Cairo's International Garden Municipal Park. Aside from its small size and its pointy ears, there were also black smudges on its face where the paint was beginning to run. I don't know if it was like
it's
crying.
It's the world's worst zoo here. There's a zebra.
Its mascara was running down its face. Pictures quickly went viral with experts weighing in on the species of the animal. You know, you have to get a donkey expert on it. A vet contacted by local news group said that a zebra's snout is black while its stripes are more consistent and parallel. Thank you, veterinarian.
Well, and there's actually a bunch of subspecies of zebras that have different color patterns. But don't worry about that when you break out the bucket of paint.
No. When contacted by local radio station, zoo director Mohammed Sultan insisted that this donkey was not this zebra was a zebra and not a donkey. Hint, if your zebra sounds like this. That's a donkey.
The chance it's not a zebra. Although the zebras make but not like that, but they do make a little bit of that noise.
So they've got a little donkey in them, I guess. But
I'm stepping away.
And by the way, I pulled that clip from a YouTube video. If you want to look it up, be my guest. called 10 Hours of Donkey Noises.
Available in time for Christmas.
I listen to that every night trying to go to sleep. But unable, this isn't the first time a zoo's been accused of trying to fool its audience. Unable to find a way around the Israeli blockade, a zoo in Gaza, they actually had done this before. They painted two donkeys to look like zebras in 2009. Another Gaza zoo put stuffed animals on display because they were running low on animals. In 2013, a Chinese zoo tried to pass off a Tibetan Mastiff dog as an African lion. And also in 2017, a zoo in China disappointed visitors by exhibiting blow-up plastic penguins. So, I guess if you put them far enough away, maybe.
This is the worst zoo stories ever.
All right, here's this next story. It's also about scams. This one, more likely that somebody in the listening area would fall for this.
Okay.
And I may or may not have friends and or family members who've had a bit too much fun on a night out, resulted in a mess being made in an Uber on the way home.
Uh-huh.
And when that happens, when somebody loses their dinner in an Uber, they're charged for the cleanup, and which makes sense. They should have to pay for that. I think it's right around $150. Well, now some Uber riders in Florida accusing their drivers of engaging in fraud. According to the El Nuevo Herald, several customers claim that unscrupulous drivers have falsely accused them of throwing up chunks inside the Uber vehicles, making the riders responsible for bogus cleanup charges. One Miami resident told the publication he was victimized twice in one night. They're calling this scam vomit fraud. It's been around for a few years, apparently. New York, California, it's had these cases. So the Uber drivers pick up a customer, deliver them to their intended destination, and then after the customer, even if they haven't gotten sick, they report to Uber that person threw up in their vehicle. The drivers allegedly provide the company with fake pictures of the mess, and then the company hits the passenger with that large $150 cleanup bill. Some victims have reportedly had a difficult time getting Uber to refund the fraudulent charges. Others said they've complained and have yet to receive a refund. And some don't even realize they were charged for this because it shows up on credit statements that they haven't that they didn't pay attention to.
So it's a $150 cleanup fee.
Yeah.
And so a can of vegetable soup only cost the driver about 50 cents. And okay.
Or if they head by Spencer's or one of those novelty shops,
right,
and they just get one of those things, they throw out there on the floor. But yeah, that's something you got to look out for. Next time you hop in an Uber, make sure you check the credit statement.
Good margins. All right. We're going to leave a couple on the cutting room floor
tonight. Yeah, we're leaving 6.5 on the cutting room floor. Kind of ran out of time today, but it's all right. It wasn't that good.
Okay, it's okay. We'll pick it up in a week or so and do it again, huh?
Heck yeah.
All right. We're coming right back. Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino joins us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, back in studio, my buddy Ed Rowan from Taylor Martino. Thanks for being back on the show.
Thank you for being here, Sean.
You know, I was talking about this with you before we went on, about patriotism. And you started talking about the summertime and what it means to you from Memorial Day, with the solemn occasion Memorial Day, on through the patriotic feel that people get around the 4th of July and Independence Day. And of course, this means a lot to you as an American, and I imagine even more as a Marine.
Absolutely. You know, just as an American and a Marine, these two holidays really solidify everything that I feel about this country and why I do the things I do and the things that I've done. And I start thinking about equality and how important equality is, you know, for all Americans. And I mean, particularly with all the elections and all the political stuff going on, it's exhausting to me. It's frustrating to me. I really have to, I'm sorry, turn off your show sometime too, Sean, because it's just too much. But yeah, I am intrigued by it. But that is so important in my life and in my practice. You know, just everybody I see, rich or poor, black or white, to see them the same, you know, and that my faith goes into that as well, that everybody is the same and equal, no matter their race, their socioeconomic level, whatever. And when they come into my office, I'm going to make sure that they're treated equally with what they have going on. And they're in a tumultuous situation with, you know, some type of injury or tragedy or issue, and they're not getting treated fairly, and they're the victim. And so the whole world's coming down on him or her, and it's up to me to equalize that and to make sure that they're treated fairly. And that just, that gives me passion to do that. And that's what America is. You know, America's fighting for your neighbor, you know, fighting for your friend, or fighting for a stranger, somebody you just met. And when you can do that, when you can lift them up, man, and you see that in their eyes, you see it in their body language, you know, that really gets me going. That's why I get up every day.
Yeah, I imagine when people are in your office too, sometimes they get an eye opener where people, I see, accept a certain level of what you said, that they're at a lesser status than somebody else. And it almost becomes second nature to people. And it's good to talk to somebody like you who can say, well, no, in fact, you got this right, this other right over here.
Well, yeah, one thing I have to work on as well is you know, I'm sort of an amateur counselor or therapist or whatever, because right. People will actually, they'll feel guilty for being in that situation. And so one of the first things I try to do is say, listen, you're a victim here.
Right.
You didn't do anything wrong, or you wouldn't be here. Or, I'm sorry, I'd help you however I could, but I couldn't represent you if you were in the wrong. So, you know, let's get rid of that guilt. Let's focus on being treated fairly. You have any problem with that? And they say, no, I don't have any problem with that. And then so I fight for that. That really makes me proud to be American, to do that. And, you know, they don't get treated fairly all the time by the insurance companies.
Right.
The insurance companies, I had one the other day who a person got hurt, and they weren't terribly hurt, but it was a pretty big impact. It's a car wreck, and they got treated by an orthopedic surgeon. They sent them to physical therapy, and the insurance adjuster calls me and says, well, we're not accepting all of the treatment because we don't think all of that was necessary. And I said, well, why don't you call the orthopedic surgeon and the physical therapist, and you can debate right. that with them. Because right, I said, right. that's just ridiculous. And so that's the kind of stuff that I'm dealing with, that people don't understand that goes on.
Well, they don't, because, you know, you see people often after they've had their worst day, right? And you've seen a lot of people in their worst day, and you know how to do this, how to get justice for people. But, you know, I mean, whatever we do for a living, we're not in the business of going, oh, I can contest that from the insurance company. We don't know that.
Right. I mean, it's just like if somebody came to you and said you did some work, and you did good work for what you did. And, you know, that's what the physical therapists and the doctors are doing. I mean, they're trying to heal and help the patient. And then to say, oh, well, 25% of what you did is not legitimate, so we're just not going to accept that. I mean, that's just a slap in the face. And that gets me going. And I told the insurance adjuster, well, you know, that's fine. You know, you can do whatever you want to do, and you have a right not to offer any money. But what you're doing is you're the one that's forcing the lawsuit. So I said, I'm going to have to file. If you take this position, I'm going to have to file a lawsuit. I don't want to. And I'm the one that's being looked at as, you know, filing the lawsuits and suing people or whatever, when really it's the insurance company that says stuff like that. That's the impetus of that lawsuit.
But that's why it's great to get the wisdom you have to be an ombudsman for people, because they may think, you just laid out a scenario for me. I could hear this in my ear, and they say, well, we're not going to pay 25% of those costs. I may assume that that's how it's done. I may assume that I don't have rights to 100% of it. Because I haven't been in the situation. I haven't practiced law for 2 decades, you know?
I couldn't imagine what an individual with, you know, no legal training and or no medical training, at least, that has to take on, you know, this type of a situation, what they would do. Because, you know, I can't really argue with whatever computer program they're using to punch everything in to spit out some little data or whatever. But I can just, you know, I've tried so many cases. I've been practicing for almost 21 years now that what I told the adjuster, I said, well, that's not going to fly with the jury. Get in front of 12 mm-hmm. ordinary citizens and you tell them that, oh, this physical therapy, 25% of it, that wasn't necessary, so we shouldn't have to pay that. I said, go ahead and make that argument in front of 12 citizens of Mobile County or any county in Alabama, Mississippi, wherever. And she really couldn't argue with that.
Well, and they have to know, you just said it, I think, they have to know you do what you do, and that's you go to trial. Because that's the threat there, that they don't want to go in front of that jury with it. They have to know, though, when I come find you and have you represent me, that you are, if need be, we're going to trial.
A lot of times it's frustrating because I evaluate a case for a fair amount, and I try to settle a case for a fair amount. And then what happens is that a lot of times the insurance company, they offer half of that amount, and then I file suit, and we go through depositions and all this other stuff and get close to trial, and then I end up settling the case for exactly what I wanted to settle it for before I filed suit. It would make the average person a little mad, and maybe I have gotten a few gray hairs over the years from, it's almost like beating your head up against the door or a tree or something. But you just have to continue to do that and fight that fight, because that's kind of what I have to do every day. But I love it. I love helping people. I love the risk of going in front of a jury, you know, not knowing what's going to happen and not knowing a single person on that jury. Because if you know somebody, you know, they're either going to get struck for cause or the other side's going to strike them. So I don't know any of those folks, and I look at them as my equal. They are my equal, and, you know, they're no better or worse than me, and vice versa. Just seeing what's going to happen and try to just be myself and present my case and be honest, and thank the Lord things have kind of worked out, I think.
Absolutely. It's about equality. People want to find out what their rights are. Get that equality. How do they get in touch with you, Ed?
You can just Google Taylor Martino or Ed Rowan, Richard Taylor, Steve Martino, my partners, or you can call us at 251-433-3131.
Ed Rowan with Taylor Martino, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Sean.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.